Women Radio Show with your host, Lonnie Clark. We stand together and accept that we now live in a world transformed by Fukushima. Monday, Wednesday, and Friday from 8 a.m. to 9 a.m. Pacific Standard Time here on UCY.TV Radio. We relentlessly engage every ear that listens. We expose and confront the complete lack of accountability for the nuclear industry. Consider social engineering programs who view our bodies, minds, and souls as assets on a balance sheet. We discuss vital current issues, interview activists, and engage our audience in an effort to allow all voices to be heard. The Age of Vision Radio Show creates a venue that all will choose. We encourage our listeners to reclaim their power and their courage to take action and save our planet from the ravages of greed and indifference. Our actions matter. Every voice matters. We remind our listeners that happiness is resistance. Love is greater than fear.
Good morning, UCY.TV radio listeners. This is Lonnie Clark with the Age of Fission radio show. Thank you for joining us. We're actually pre-recording an interview with Sean McGee of nuclearnews.net and our European correspondent on Libby Halevy's show, The Nuclear Hot Seat. Sorry about that, Libby. I stumbled over that. Sean, thank you for joining us. I really appreciate your time. It's been very helpful to have you on our show.
Oh no, it's good to be with you, Lonnie. It's as I said, we've been having a lot of news and information coming out over the last few days. It seems that they've been trying to cram it in. I was going to try starting with an American story, actually, which I think is kind of hasn't been put out there very much. Now, I think we were talking before the show about the the NODAPL sort of issue.
The DAPL, no DAPL.
No DAPL. And so basically what we're seeing is these pipelines are now going to all be, the permits are all going to be fast-tracked. And not only just the two that we were talking about, the XL and the DAPL one. Basically, we're talking also about all the others that he wants to do. He's also going to be cutting a lot. He gets a lot of his pipe work and metal work, you know, from Asia and Europe. So he's going to be, I think Germany is going to be quite badly affected. The UK, Ukraine actually also has been selling a lot of pipes to America. So that obviously their economy is pretty bad anyway. So that's going to be a bit of a knock. So basically what we'll be looking at is, a contraction of American sort of manufacturing back into America. Not necessarily a bad idea, although it would have been nice if it was done in a kind of, you know, friendly way, but it looks like he's going hell for leather on it. Now, of course, with this, I think it's not so much to do with creating jobs, because a lot of it's mechanized anyway nowadays. But what it is really, it's about freeing up all these permits. Now, on the 23rd, I think it came out in the evening over in America, you know, so it's, but this is a story that I haven't seen anywhere. And it was actually behind a paywall, on Law 360. They managed to get hold of this, and there's been a couple of bills that they've put in. Now, the first one is to do, you know, this is obviously to do with America. Now, the first one is that they're supposed to be helping consumers in the existing power industry and to help the development of new nuclear reactor technologies. Now, so what they mean basically by that is that it comes in two parts. One is basically to do with the reactors that we have, that you guys have, that are planned and what have you, and it's going to be cutting the permits and fast-tracking those. And also there's going to be money going into, so it's bailing out the nuclear industry, basically, money going into the research and development of new nuclear. And we're seeing the same thing in the UK. There was literally a couple of days ago, Theresa May also came out with the same thing. And in her case, she was beating about the bush, but bottom line is a lot of that research and development will be going into nuclear companies. Now, we had Rolls-Royce recently have just been taken through the courts, and they were done for bribery and corruption, which is unbelievable. This is Rolls-Royce. Now, you may not realize that there's great deals with America and everything, but they're trying to create small reactors. Now, so they will.
The small modular reactors, right?
Yeah, yeah.
They're putting some in Idaho for sure.
Yeah, and also investing in fusion, you know, that mm-hmm. old nutshell yes. that you're trying to work on for 40 years. Now, the bottom line there is that what we're going to be seeing is we're going to see, from the UK perspective anyway, we're going to be seeing the money. I think they paid something like $300 million in fines, but nobody's gone to prison. There's no, you know, usual thing. Nobody's been held accountable. They just paid a load of money. And they were given about $500 million a couple of years ago, you know, so it's like from the taxpayer. But now they're going to be getting more money going in to sort of bail them out, which will be part of this research money and what have you. And over in America, what we're seeing with these two bills that have come in, it's the Fair Rates Act, I believe it would be called. So it would be for Advanced Nuclear Technology Development mm-hmm. Act of 2017. Mm-hmm. And it's going to direct the U.S. Department of Energy, who's run by a guy who didn't even know that it was mostly a nuclear sort of mm-hmm. you know, Department of Energy is 60-70% goes into nuclear weapons and nuclear energy and what have you. That's where this money's going, basically, and everything's being fast-tracked. So, you know, I would presume with that also we'll be talking about nuclear weapons development and things like this, which was always on the cards. So, and then further down the line, they've also talked about small modular reactors and fusion as well, you know, which is all that is basically is for these companies, these nuclear companies, just to, you know, they get a bit of money, they get their bailout. It's like a bailout thing because, you know, they can't make these small modular reactors cost effective. You know,
well, they can't make any nuclear reactors. Look, yeah.
The Rolls-Royce reactors that they had in Trident submarines, they were suffering from the same cracks that we're seeing in all the EDF reactors, you know. Now they're saying, oh, it's because of the, you know, carbon content and what have you. But, you know, I think there's also issues around them putting in, running the fuel rods for longer. They call it high burn up fuel, which means they just burn the reactors for the fuel rods for longer to get more out of them. I think the heat coefficients are slightly, you know, it gets slightly hotter, causes a little bit more damage, you know, it starts pushing the limit of what the reactor casings were designed to do. So we're finding, you know, in these nuclear reactors that all the Trident submarines were pulled in, and they've got the same problems in their, in, you know, and these are small reactors, obviously, in their shell. So we're seeing the same sort of problems basically in the big reactors as the small ones that they are using now. And of course, so that was just one little story, and it does tie in. I mean, you can't really talk about American nuclear without, even though Trump's saying, oh, we're going to have it for America, you know, they're also doing deals with Russia, because Russia actually has Rosatom sells all the fuel rods and all this, and they've got the manufacturing base for that. You know, the UK failed miserably trying to deal with these MOX fuel rods. They've closed that down. I don't think they have that sort of project in America. They have to get it from elsewhere. So these are all these under the hand deals, and they were being done by Obama, you know, and everybody else as well. Even though Russia is supposed to be the big boogeyman, all these deals like with TEPCO and Russia, they're going on, you know. So you know, TEPCO or you know, the Japanese nuclear industry can buy from Russia and then pass on, you know, do a little bit of processing and then pass it on to America, you know. So anyway, I think what we're being sort of told, the Cold War meme, is really all about ramping up the military and, you know, and obviously nuclear weapons. You know?
Oh, that's for sure. Have you looked at the website of the White House? It's all about the military and the police. This is why people are freaked out. You know, like me as an American, I wasn't that freaked out about Donald Trump a month ago. Every day that passes, more and more stuff raises the hair on the back of my head. It's like, Rick, do you know that Rick Perry, the man he wants to put as the head of the Department of Energy, where it's actually more than 80% of their budget goes to nuclear, if you dig into it, which I did when I first got involved in this because I read budgets.
Sure.
Rick Perry has a Bachelor's of Arts degree, which is a 4-year degree in animal sciences. That's his background.
It was animal husbandry or something.
That's right. It's animal sciences. It is husbandry. That's all it is. And, you know, he sat on the board of this nuclear waste company that caused a huge problem. They built a pipeline, literally, that broke. It's caused a massive problem in Texas. I mean, but I think his appointment of Rick Perry is an indication of where the Department of Energy knows this is going. Their job is going to be managing waste. It's not about really building new projects, because the new projects are going to take 10 to 15 years. They're not going to do them quickly. But they know that we have a massive, massive, massive waste problem in this country that's only going to get exponentially worse. So they want somebody who's willing to callously look away and go, what? That, you just throw some dirt on it, it'll be fine.
I've got to say, what they did in the UK, because, you know, they're talking about TTIP and TPP and all this kind of thing. Now, you know, America has one-to-one deals with countries. It doesn't need TTIP, all right? The corporations all are international. So whether mm-hmm. they're based in the UK, US, mm-hmm. Japan, wherever, they all, you know, they all, I mean, you know, Mitsubishi, you know, is basically an American company. You know, but it is also based in Japan.
Yeah.
So the TTIP and the TPP was just a way that I think they wanted to secure their base in a kind of a legal sense. But the fact is that they will carry on regardless, you know. And in the UK, what a lot of people didn't realise, you know, before Brexit and everything, was that TTIP has all the rules for TTIP have already been brought in, and so if I was to compare what might happen in America, and I think it is happening, because we're looking at the EPA now are getting a short shrift, and also they're sort of like saying things like, well, the water quality, they don't have to report on it, and they can bury, you know, sort of waste products in, you know, underneath aquifers and things like this, and pipelines across water. So we're seeing a lot less of, impetus to deal with the environmental side of you know, the equation between profit and, you know, environmental sort of support. Now, in the UK, what they did quite early on, and I think this was just before I got kicked out, actually, I discovered that they were doing things like burying sort of slightly higher level waste, you know, the medium level waste in landfills. When they had contaminated soil, what they would do is they'd put so much soil over the top of it with maybe a thin layer of concrete, and that would do that. So, you know, they weren't really long term, and they weren't looking at where that would end up in the water table or whatever, or if there was flooding later on, how that might move in the environment. They were basically, because, I mean, the UK, it plays down the effects of climate change, you know. And the fact is that we're seeing the changing climate, shall we say, right now. You know, we're getting much worse flooding in this part of the world. And that's not been taken into account. A report, I might bring it up a bit later, but there's a report that came out that to do with the nuclear power plant and how the UK plays down the sort of findings, the projected sort of weather patterns, if you like, and they push it further down the line. And, of course, they do it in the USA as well, and they do it in Australia. Now, they're the three countries that where you go online, and there's a lot of people paid to, I'll have to deal with quite a few of them myself. A lot of people are paid to sort of say, oh, you know, climate change, it doesn't exist and all this, you know. And I do know that there's quite a few people on the online circuit who actually can get quite good money.
Yeah, I read that they pay a person to have 8 profiles. They pay them about $45,000 a year to maintain 8 profiles. That's what I don't know the veracity of that story, but I read that last year. So I don't doubt it. I mean, this is the reality. If they had any conscience, this is the interesting thing, running into people who are not bad people, but like they really believe that Donald Trump is going to bring jobs home to America, that he's going to protect us, that he's going to help us. They genuinely believe that he is going to help our country. And it is, those are the ones that are going to fall the hardest when they start to see what happens to them after this, a year and a half. These are basically neoliberal ideas. I mean, this is,
The one thing I would, from a kind of a historical basis here, if we looked at, now I'm very left wing, by the way, right? So don't bite me head off here. But in late 20s, early 30s, Germany, Hitler basically, he rebuilt the economy by rebuilding the arms, by making roads.
That's right.
And by building infrastructure.
That's right.
He also made sure that people got food.
That's right.
So the bottom line is I'm not necessarily comparing him with Hitler now. I know apparently he has a book of Hitler's sayings or something.
Does he really?
I have no idea. I don't know if that's true or not. But the bottom line is that
wow.
that those sort of, they weren't necessarily national socialists, but they were actually socialist ideas, which we have in Europe. That's why we have, an integrated system of energy, and energy grids, and we have integrated systems of measurements, and standards of house building, and all these kind of things, and that's because we're a social democratic. A lot of Europe is social democratic. Now, when you throw in the national thing, then you start getting the national socialist thing, but the bottom line is there's nothing wrong if he actually does do these things, and they will be good for America. But the way I'm sort of looking at it, I don't think the corporations will put the money into it, but I might be wrong. They might think, and there was in Davos recently, a lot of the big money people were saying, maybe we push this austerity thing a bit too far, because, at the moment they've got all this money in offshore and it's not doing anything, and they can't take it out because there's nothing going on anywhere, So it's
like... Well, this is the bottom line with Trump. Yeah, I think that the Republican Party is going to feed the American people candy for the next 2 years. They're going to create jobs, jobs, jobs. They are going to pass. Ironically, the reconstruction of our roads. I mean, American roads are an abomination. Our airports look like 1950s. We don't even have decent train, decent rail. So we do need a massive reconstruction of our infrastructure. The issue is this: it's all going to be subcontracted out. We will have jobs, but those jobs will not have regulations to protect workers because they're rolling back all those regulations. We'll not have environmental regulations. So for the first 3 years, we're going to feel great, and that'll be long enough for the Republicans to win again, and they might even be able to pull it off for 4 more years to get him in for 8 years. But at the end of 8 years, we are going to... I make this analogy that America is like a battered wife. An abuser doesn't come in and start punching you in the face the first night. When you hook up with an abuser, they push you, they harass you, they call you names, they lie to you and tell you you're making things up, that you don't understand the truth, they confuse you. This is what this is exactly what Hitler did, and it is exactly what Trump is doing, and I am comparing him to Hitler. I don't mind. I think he is a fascist, frightening person, and I have more anxiety about what I call the American Taliban, which is Vice President Pence, than I do Trump, because Trump is a typical narcissist abuser, but yeah. Pence devious.
To be honest, I can see the concerns, and there's definitely, you know, you're not alone with those concerns.
I know, and thank God for that. And this is not 1932. We are not going to watch our neighbors get hauled off to death camps. Sorry, no. It's not going to happen.
And there's a lot more people. There's, you know, and there's the, to be honest, I have to say, you know, with all the things that are going on in America, I mean, what I did notice before, you know, in American history, you know, going back 30 years or so, 40 years maybe, when you had a very right wing, very similar kind of, you know, and you had all the red menace and all that kind of thing, and you know, and Hoover doing his stuff, you know, and all, you know, there's lots of really, really crazy stuff going on, and with the Americans, you know, when they're pushed so far, they tend to swing back, and there is a lot of people saying that this is a very likely thing to happen, and maybe these a lot of people that have never been out sort of demonstrating, maybe because they're too tired, they're too fearful, or you know, all the other reasons why people haven't been getting out on the streets and sort of you know, should be claiming their rights, you know. So they've got out now, and so maybe people will become more engaged, maybe people will dig in, maybe people will spend less time on television and more time trying to consume information and discussing information, you know.
You're so naive, Sean, really.
Well, to be honest... Let's hope so.
I hope you're right.
I'm the world's greatest pessimist, but I have seen this before. You know, you follow history, and in America...
Are you there, Sean? Hello? Sean? Are you there?
But what I would say is that it is a possibility, maybe not the flares, but yeah, but certainly the ideas, and you have some great great thinkers, and you know, this show is another one. We're sitting here, we're discussing across the oceans, you know, ideas, and we're talking about history, and we're talking about how things have swung. You know, all right, Hitler was there, but hey, you know what? He wasn't there for very long.
True.
You know, Hoover was there, you know, and COINTELPRO was there, and now we've got Snowden and WikiLeaks, you know, and so there is kickback already to this system, you know, and what we don't want to say is that everybody, you know, and I've been targeted by security services, but I also know for a fact that the security services, you know, they have families too.
Right, you know? They're human beings. Their children will also die of nuclear pollution. Let's just talk reality.
Well, there's not just that. There's all the pollution.
Yeah.
Oil and everything else. So the bottom line is that Snowden, you know, he's an amazing person who turned around earning $70,000, living in Hawaii, having a great time, makes a decision to move to Russia. You know,
well, I don't think he made a decision to move to Russia. Well, the United States,
get the hell out of the UK, get the hell out of the US. But
he ended up there because, let's be clear, the Americans took his passport before he went to South America.
Yeah, totally, absolutely. So the bottom line was, though, he did an amazing thing, and no matter what he did, he knew that. I mean, when he was sitting there in you could see, you know, if you watch the film, which was live with. Was it Laura Poitras actually filming him, and you could see how nervous he was, and you know, and he really didn't think he was going to get, you know, he'd get on that plane and he'd be flying anywhere. You know, he really thought that he'd be, you know, in Guantanamo Bay or somewhere similar, he knew exactly what to expect, because he knew, you know, Binney and all these, and Drake and all these whistleblowers, what happened to them. And he knew that what he'd done was going to be, you know, was going to be even worse, because he did the worst thing possible. in terms of what the security services, the way the security services looked at it. But, you know, the bottom line is that those people are there. They made those decisions. There are other people that have made those decisions. You know, I'm only a small bean in the pie, as you are and other people are, but we all add up, you know. And
right, every drop fills the cup. That's exactly right. Every drop matters. That's why every voice matters. That's why, like, I've accepted the challenge of doing this radio show 5 days a week to give venue to a lot of people, because we do need to talk to all parties, and I think it's very important for us to make a decision. And in fact, this is the hard part. I have talked to people that are nuclear scientists. They are grotesquely misinformed about the facts. That's I've noticed. They really...
Well, it can vary. See, the thing is that, as I said, when I think in a previous podcast we were talking about the fact that I've been talking with nuclear guys, and you know, some of those guys have had, you know, second thoughts. So they've been picking up, you know, the facts that I've been giving them. You know, they may not agree with all of them, but there's some facts there that are, you know, that are facts, and they can't get around them, you know.
Well,
and
just look at this week's page on your page. I mean, if our listeners have not found your website, I strongly recommend it. It's nuclear-news.net, and it is really one of the most comprehensive sites that I've seen for a variety of stories. I mean, and it's really, you guys have done an outstanding job of bringing information to people. If they want to find out the real truth, go there, because it is really, I mean, you read the story and you're like, oh my God, is it really that bad? But you know what? We have to be adults and face this. And sure. I love this picture that you put up this week of the wind things, and or this, the more of this or less of this, you know, the, because that's one of the things with the nuclear stuff. If it really does strip the planet. Nuclear is not clean and green. It takes a lot to build a nuclear plant to keep it going. It's a really horrible, a failed idea.
Well, Christina McPherson, she's really hot on the thorium thing, the mini reactors, and she has huge battles with and you know, we've actually found out in the past that I mean, I actually got contacted by one of her trolls, and because I engaged with them, and I was kind of decent. They've been really horrible to her. She's 70 odd, right? And I said, look, you know, what are you doing? I said, like, you know, let's engage, you know, you talk about this. And then I engaged, but I did it in a nice way. And in the end, I got an email one day. And I sort of looked at it, and the name on the email, it was a Gmail thing, and it had the name of one of the trolls, and I'm like, huh? And it had a social media company address, website, URL, and I clicked on it, and there was like 8 girls there, you know, behind their computers, and you know, they're obviously, you know, single mums and things like that. They were, you know, all married women that were trying to make a living, and they were given this job, and they were cut and pasting all their sort of comments, and you know, and they were given sort of tasks, you know, people to keep up on and have a go at and stop, you know, drop links and be rude and all these sort of things, just trying to, you know, stop that, you know, to try and, you know, annoy them, get in the way, you know. It was all the things that actually Edward Snowden put out in the JTRIG training manual, which was the GCHQ training manual, how to undermine social media networks, you know, in the comment section and various other ways. And the actual training manual is on, you know, you can go to The Intercept and read the damn thing. You know, they've got the actual plates that they show to these trainee security services guys. But it's a similar thing that they're taught in these social media networks. And as you're saying, some of them are probably paid fairly well. I think those ladies were probably just paid a normal wage, you know, to do this, you know. Times are hard. But what they'd done, they'd contacted me. I don't know which one it was, but one of them, it was one of them. And she just wanted us to know that it was just a job for her, you know? So I contacted Christina. I sent her the URL.
That thing is just a job for her.
Yeah, yeah. And so I contacted Christina, because Christina was quite angry, you know, and she thought this was a guy, but it was actually a woman. One of 8 women, you know, could have been taking turns doing it. But anyway, one of them's contacted her, contacted me. I've sent it off to her, and she's gone, oh, right. And then she was able to sort of take a step back, you know, not trying to engage them so much and trying to ignore them and just get on with what she was doing, you know, in terms of her posting and things, you know. And they're still at it, you know. There's probably other people doing it now. But the bottom line is that that's kind of how the system works. And people don't realize this. These same people will be on the comment section of newspapers, on the comment sections of YouTubes, you know, putting in vile sort of things. I mean, the way I've always dealt with it is that I always put in links to WikiLeaks. I put in links to The Intercept, Edward Snowden. I go off, you know, and the reason I do that is because I know that they are, and I've actually engaged one that was on Naomi Wolf's page, and I knew that it was probably a security service, probably maybe Israeli. I wasn't too sure, but anyway, he was being, you know, quite aggressive and rude and disruptive, should we say. So I engaged with him. I said, "Oh, how you going, man?" And then I turned around and I said, "Look, you know, guess what? I think you might be a troll, but I'm probably wrong. But look, here's a link," and I gave him a WikiLeaks, and I said a WikiLeaks link, and I said, "What's on the third line down?" You know, I said, "If you tell me what's on the third line down, I know that you know that you're not who I think you are."
That's
and,
funny.
You know, so what he did, he was turning around. And, you know, he was posting, all of a sudden he's gone, "Oh, I have to go to bed now. I haven't got time to do that." Right, and what he was saying to me was, like, the game was up, right? And he wasn't allowed to. If he'd have gone onto that site and read that third line down, he would have got the sack, because the you know, a lot of people in corporations, especially in security and the military, are not allowed to go on WikiLeaks, right? They're not allowed to go on The Intercept. They're banned.
I didn't know that.
Yeah. That's interesting. So what I do quite often when I'm engaging somebody I know who's using those sort of troll techniques, is that I will actually do that sort of thing. I'll start throwing those links out. Now there's two reasons why they'll stop. One, right, is because they don't want you to keep putting these links up, because people will start clicking on them, going, "Ooh, what's he on about?" You know, and so they can't allow you to encourage it, yeah. So basically, it's just and the other thing, if you want to engage with them, you know, be nice, get in there, be nice, and then all of a sudden hit them with a link and say, "Look, what's the third one down? I'm pretty sure you're a kosher guy, but, you know, could you, you know," it's really interesting to say on Naomi Wolf's site, because, you know, because they're probably all from Israel, these guys, but they're not allowed to go on the site. So they know the game's up, and it's like you're playing a kind of game of chess, you know. When I'm being attacked, you know, by the pro-nuclear guys, and they're all military 9 times out of 10, because they're, you know, especially if they're nuclear, you just start hitting them with all these links, and, you know, and to be honest with you, I can't get engagement now for about a year and a half now. I haven't been able to get any engagement from, and I know these trolls by their names, you know, whether it's Star Viking on the Japan Times or whoever, and they will not engage me. The only ones I get to engage are just happen to be nuclear workers who just come in, and they're just sort of defending what they've been taught, you know, as we were discussing, and then you start hitting them with some of the facts, the, you know, the logical facts, you know, because you can't necessarily argue with the science. You can't, you know, you can a bit, you can do it a bit, but you've got to do it with logic as well. You put the two together, then you can start, you know. And as I said, I think on a previous podcast, I had one guy from America, from the UK, and I only had two of them having a go at me at that one, and there was an American as well, and the American lady just you know, wouldn't even click a link, but the English guy was going, "Well, what's all this about?" And he's obviously checking it out. And then after about 45 posts or something, he turned around and he said, "Well, actually, you know, you're both right," which is actually a real, you know, for him to say that is a real achievement. You know, but he was just a genuine sort of nuclear worker, and he learned something. You with me?
Yeah.
That everything isn't cut and dry. Now, obviously, he can't step forward and go, "Oh, yeah, no, you're totally right." You know, because at the end of the day, he might lose his job.
Mm-hmm.
So what they tend to do then is they'll drop off quite quickly. But then you've kind of taught them something, you know. So I think there is room for engagement. If you know the arguments, you know how to do it. Whether that's talking about a multitude of things where, you know, it could be human rights, and then, you know, you've got these trolls coming in, they're trying to disrupt that, and then you just start dropping loads of WikiLeaks, God bless Julian Assange, and The Intercept, obviously, with Edward Snowden and Glenn Greenwald and all these amazing people, Jeremy Scahill. So, and all they'll ever do is they can do ad hominem attacks, but if you're just hitting them with the facts, you know, yeah. Oh, sorry, excuse me. Oh, my Lord.
That's okay. We like that song.
Yeah. Hello. Hi, who is it?
Okay, folks, so we're on the interview with Sean McGee, and he kind of got interrupted, had to answer the phone. So just hang tight with him. He'll be back in just a second. So this is the music. I should have just let that music keep playing, huh? So that is where we're at. And I think it's very important for all of us to actually learn how to engage each other and engage people who don't agree with us and engage people that, you know what I do? I follow the NEI, which is National Energy Institute, I think, or NEI. It's on Twitter. And you know what makes them stop every time is when I ask them about nuclear waste. Because it's not like the nuclear industry has a stalwart record of perfectly handling the waste and knowing what to do about it. It is a growing problem. It is the elephant in the room. It's the reason that we all hate nuclear energy. There's nothing wrong with nuclear energy except that it kills everyone at the end. It produces a product that only is used for war. So look, while Sean's on this phone call, he had to take this pretty rapidly. So maybe he's coming back.
That's a bit weird. That was on guard. I should call on her, by the way.
That's the
Irish police. I had a bike nicked earlier.
Oh, that's a drag.
And then I found the bike later.
Oh, good.
So he was just getting back to me to say, oh, I've just heard you got bike back, blah, blah, blah. Anyway, that's for weird timing.
What time is it? Yeah, that's what I was going to say. That's a weird time to call you at midnight. What if you were like a regular and early person, went to bed at 9 o'clock, they call you at like midnight? That's an odd time. We're calling Sean at midnight at night to pre-record this interview, so that's peculiar.
I'm now just checking my thing. I haven't got Angada Shikana back on the network.
Well, I was just about to start talking about your page, and I was saying how, this is the issue with nuclear energy. It's not the nuclear energy we don't like. It's the nuclear waste we don't like. I go onto Twitter, and I follow NEI, and anytime any of those pro-nukers try to tell me, I say, really? So what are we doing about the nuclear waste? Tell me your answer for that. The solution. We're not talking about burying your trash under piles of dirt. We're talking about resolving this and turning nuclear waste, remediating it completely. That shuts them up pretty quickly, for real. Then they tell them, then they go into name calling and tell me I'm delusional. You know what I mean? It's really outrageous, the level of denial. I mean, this is why we're talking about it. It's the nuclear waste, Sean.
I mean, George Monbiot, who attacked Chris Busby, he came out, and all of a sudden he came out in favor of nuclear. And he did an article the other day, and he was going on about, I think it was the American Energy Alliance and somebody else, and he was going on about oil. He was going about the climate change and oil, right, and the big interests. And the only thing is that it stuck in my mind was that, and he was talking about the Koch brothers as well, and the Koch brothers and the Energy Alliance, they're pro-nuclear, okay? So he's having a go at the organizations that are pro-nuclear without mentioning the word nuclear, only mentioning their oil contacts, because they have both. You know, mm-hmm. there's a swing door between the CEOs of nuclear and fossil fuel. But the point is that he couldn't mention nuclear. It was really weird. It would have been a really good article if he'd rounded it up and brought in the nuclear energy and the weapons and the what. But when you actually get him and you talk to him about the waste, He goes, oh yeah, the waste is a bit of a problem,
right?
You know,
oops.
All right, and he's the guy. But the thing is that once he attacked Chris Busby, I think it was basically MI5 went up to him because Chris is doing a lot of stuff against the Ministry of Defence. It's going to cost them a lot of money if Chris wins his cases, you know, and I think they did big disinfo.
They have the money. This is the thing that's shocking.
Yeah, they do. But the point is, they don't want to be giving it to the British nuclear test veterans because, like, you know, the thing is that the soldiers are just, you know, they're pawns. You know, you use them and then you throw them away. And that's what they do all over the world, you know, unfortunately, you know. And of course, myself and Chris, you know, we're supposed to be peace, you know, we're peaceniks, if you like, but we're actually defending the soldiers, you know. I'm actually Irish. I'm defending English soldiers. So, but the point is at the end of the day, you know, we've got soldiers in Ireland as well, but they never got near the nuclear stuff. But there are soldiers in Australia and New Zealand. They've got Irish backgrounds, you know. So it all kind of connects, you know. But at the end of the day, it's all really about not only are the soldiers being contaminated, but so are the people in Fukushima, and so are the people in, you know, near Sellafield and downwind of nuclear power plants.
Yeah, yeah.
As you're saying, as we were discussing about how the UK and how America is going to do the same thing, is to relax the how you can bury stuff. You know, they're doing that in Japan. They have to, you know. Where they are just putting soil over the top, or they're throwing it in the sea, or they're incinerating it and putting it up in the air, and they're just spreading it around they think.
Wasn't it Libby Halevy that reported that they're building the Olympic Stadium out of reclaimed wood right out from Fukushima?
I don't want to know. I think at the end of the day, then it's absolutely crazy stuff, because we see a lot of people in Japan. Now, you know, you can go to areas in Japan where the radiation's low, the soil readings are low and everything else, but you can go to other spots that are maybe further away and you've got high readings, you know, you've got one microsievert if you put your Geiger counter near the ground. There's contamination, some contamination at least in Tokyo. There's, you know, certainly Chiba was a thing I was talking with Timothy Masao about. He was saying he was going to go there and get a baseline for his Geiger counter readings and soil readings and, you know, what have you, and checking out the butterflies. But when he went there, he was getting like 0.4 microsieverts per hour. This is just a couple of years afterwards. So, you know, he couldn't use that area. That was an area that obviously there's a lot of water and there's lots of plains and there's kind of high spots, and, you know, it's where the snow would have fallen and where the contamination washes down off the higher mountains, where a lot of contamination went all the way down the spine of Japan. Wow. So it's, you know, there's a lot of misinformation.
Shocking. Wow.
Yeah, yeah. And so there's a lot of misinformation and what have you. So I think at the end of the day, we're basically, you know, there are people obviously who are trying to dig into this, you know, with the limited funding they have, you know, and so at the end of the day, we just have to give them the support that we can give them, you know, and you know, fortunately, if we're doing what we're doing, we're getting that information out. We're letting other people know that this is the case. And, you know, Timothy Masao, a lot of his, you know, he's done 70 peer-reviewed articles, you know, and they've been battled all the way, and some he's got through, and most he's got through, some maybe he hasn't. But the bottom line is, though, is what he's got through is evidence of radiation damage, which is what the nuclear industry denies categorically, you know. Once you can prove that, then it's kind of, you know, you've won a logical point, you know. So I think at the end of the day, we will sort of see, you know, and the reason why Chris Busby and people like that are so heavily targeted is because they're so on the ball. I mean, I think Chris actually put up the video, which where I think it's from 2009, where he was talking from the guy who just left the ICRP. Actually, sorry. So that's the nuclear sort of measuring people. They're the ones that decide how much radiation you can have. And the guy actually turned around and said, well, now I've left, I can tell you, you know, the actual way they measure radiation, you know, it's not fit for purpose, basically. And this was a guy who was, you know, in the charge of the ICRP, you know. And if you go on to Radioactive Bar, which is Chris Busby's site, you can actually check that out. And I'll be putting up on nuclear-news.net, I think, actually, as well. But is it where he and this guy basically has this conversation? So it's quite interesting. Actually, I'll give you his name, actually, because I think that's important. It's Chris Busby, and there's other videos out there with this as well, by the way. But it's Chris Busby. I just want to get the name right. And it starts with a V. And my computer's being slow now. Fantastic. It's Chris Busby and Valentin. Right, V-A-L-E-N-T-I-N. Right. So it's Busby Valentin. If you type that in on YouTube, you'll
Dr.
find
Dr. Jack Valentin.
Exactly, and it's 1:21. It's 1 hour and 20 minutes. It's well worth a view.
September 29th, 2010.
2010 is it? I thought it was 2009. But anyway, the point is that the argument they were having, or not the argument, the discussion they were having, was very much about the same discussion that was being had in the British nuclear test veterans case. Now, the judge actually turned round and said, oh, I'm just going to go with the British scientists, you know, the MOD scientists. And, you know, I think Chris at the moment is has found a couple of points of law where they can challenge it so they can take it back into the court again. And it's a slow process. And but at the end of the day, you know, I've looked at that, and I think one of their experts walked in and went, no, 100, you're not going to have any, you can't prove any health effects under 100 millisieverts per year, right? And the fact is you can.
What? You know? So yeah. This is the abuse. This is
Professor
the abuse. Professor
Keith Pavlikoff, who was actually the head of the World wow. Health Organization Radiation Unit before it got shut down, he was the guy that actually discovered the thyroid cancers after Chernobyl. He actually did just before the court case, he actually, or while the court case was wrote, no, it was before the court case, he actually did a big article about how wrong this particular expert was, and how incompetent and how dangerous her advice was. And other people did as well. I mean, Ian Goddard did a video which just busted her totally, you know, it was Geraldine Thomas, Professor Geraldine Thomas. And you know, without a doubt, the judge must have come across that. But when she walked in, she said, you can't prove there's any damage under 100 microsieverts per year. And, you know, and she didn't care if there was kids or whatever. She just said everybody or anything at all. You know, it was very bad advice. But the judge accepted it because in the UK, they've decided that there is something called the right science. Science can no longer be debated now over there. It's like...
right science.
What you have is it's the exact same thing that happened with the cigarettes. Well, it actually started off with Galileo, where you had scientists saying, Galileo, you know, there's no way the Earth. Well, I'm sure this would be contentious to some people out there, but there's no way the Earth is round. You know, we're circling the sun. It was flat, and we have the firmament. You know, and they had scientists that were arguing that, right? And then coming more up to date in 1950s, we had the cigarette companies who employed scientists to say that cigarettes were good for you, or they certainly didn't cause cancer. And it was only until in 1992. When one of those scientists walked out with all the paperwork, which the cigarette companies had, proving that it caused cancers, right? And he handed it, he did a whistleblow, right? And that's the only reason that we know that cigarettes cause cancer, right? And because that whistleblower walked out with the cigarette company's own documentation on it, you know? And I have no doubt, and because of the way Chris was blocked getting a lot of the information, they even sent Special Branch, you know, which is a MI5, you know, sort of public version, around to people, even in Australia, to get a file, which was part of his case to prove that radiation, you know, his case for the British nuclear test veterans. And they actually sent these guys around to take this information, which was top secret, then was released in Australia because it went into a court, so it's public knowledge. And then they made it top secret again, you know. And in the UK, they also made all nuclear information top secret. The month I left the UK was the month that they brought in the new secrets law, which said that all nuclear information, of which I'd posted loads on the internet, PDFs.
What year was that, Sean?
April 2014, I came to Ireland. And I came to Ireland because I knew. And what they did, not only did they make it illegal to, but it wasn't illegal. What it is, they made it top secret. They made it officially sensitive is the exact term they created. And it meant it could only be discussed in universities, and the information couldn't be taken out of universities, right? It couldn't be shared with the public. So bottom line was that not only were they going to make that illegal, including health information as well, which is a side issue, but very relevant to when you're trying to do epidemiological studies and things, but they were making this nuclear information, retroactively. And this is why I left. It making it retroactively illegal, meaning that all the stuff I put up on any news, which, any news admin is not going to pull down, right, because I did talk to them about it, and... It's up there for good. Now I couldn't get that taken down, but that means that technically in the UK, if they make a specific PDF that I shared, or information from a PDF I shared, or information about nuclear isotopes or whatever that I shared on any news at some point, I did share a lot of stuff on any news in for a year or two there. That basically because I was documenting on that particular blog, and so. What happened was that they could then lock me up for 2 or 3 years because of this information.
Wow.
Right?
Wow.
Because they could retroactively say, right, we're going to make that PDF illegal. And look, he's taken a big section out of it. So, if you can't take it down, then he's actually broken the Official Secrets Act and we can lock him up.
Well, that was about the same time here in Oregon, I was told by Senator Ron Wyden. He went to Fukushima 4 times, and I got engaged in this in 12, so it was probably 2013.
December.
Something like that, right?
No, it was actually October when they brought the official Japanese Secrets Act.
Yeah, well, when Ron Wyden came back, he literally told me, his office told me, after the third visit, when he went there the fourth time, because I had been calling to see what was up and what was going on, because we're on the West Coast, his office basically said, we can't talk to you about it. I'm like, why not? They said, well, it's been placed under national security. It's a national security issue. It's under the Unpatriot Act. Well, they call it the Patriot Act. I call it the Unpatriot Act. And they cannot talk to us about it at all. And I said, you know what? Like, you're telling me that my senator cannot warn his own constituents about the harm being caused by the nuclear industry in another nation. They're like, ma'am, I can't even answer that question. I cannot talk to you about it at all. I said, you're joking. I mean, they're like, ma'am, we cannot discuss it. I said, well, you know what? They're not going to put him in jail. So I suggest that he break the law because this is outrageous and unconscionable. He has twins. He needs to be warning people about what goes on here. And to this day, they have all clicked their heels and said, Sieg Heil. I mean, John Goffman did explain the nuclear industry's attitude is, underreport the negative effects of radiation by 90% and deny radiation causes harm unless they can prove it. This is their standard.
Yeah. No, absolutely. And that's basically obviously that's the uphill struggle that Chris Busby's been facing, aside from, Chris Monbiot doing the getting copy from MI5 and then putting it up as an article to attack Chris Busby. And we're, Stratfor, WikiLeaks once again, released a document which showed that in early 2011, Stratfor, which is a big security company that works for governments corporations, turned around and said that the UK nuclear industry was so powerful, anti-nuclear groups were so powerful that they had to have a close eye on them. And then it was very shortly after that that George Monbiot had a moment of genius and decided to go pro-nuclear. But, at the end of the day, he was pressured. And, we are aware now. I mean, there was that guy in Germany who died recently, and he did a video, I think it was sometime last year, and he just sat down. He said, I myself have been approached by the German Secret Service, and they gave me this, and they said, look, could you put this information out? They put this story out, just sign, put your name to it, and post it up on I think it was Deutsche Welle. I think it was anyway, but he was a big German reporter, and he actually came out and he admitted it. He did die recently as well, which is a bit worrying, But the bottom line was, you know, that could have been, you know, for legitimate reasons. So I don't want to start.
I get you. Well, look, we have about 5 minutes left. I just want to give you the heads up that we've got about 5 minutes left. So I want you to be able to get in anything that you feel is urgent or information that people really need to know this week.
Oh, right. I'll tell you what. This is relevant to America and the UK. Trident, right? So yes. we have Trident missile heads towards USA, right? Whoops. And but here's the thing, right? Now,
whoops.
Last year they were having a vote on Trident, right? And this thing happened, but they kept it quiet because they didn't want the MPs to vote against the Trident. You know, like $200 billion investment or something. It's ridiculous for a small country like the UK. And, you know, but the bottom line was, though, they had that one. Now, then it came out this week, and the UK said, oh, it's, you know, we don't want to talk about it. We're not going to confirm it. But the US, somebody in the US came out and said, well, yeah, actually, we did. You know, we had this missile coming at us, you know. But, you know, luckily it didn't have a nuclear warhead on it. But it was they were aiming the other way. So, you know, they were aiming towards Africa, and it went the other way to America. You know, I mean, you can't get more crapped up than that. So it's not like it went off by a few degrees.
That really does not inspire confidence in them.
It does it? It means if they were in the English Channel firing it at France, it would have blown up London, you know. But all right, so there's one thing, right? So anyway, so then an American thing came out, and they were saying, oh, well, look, there's an article came out, and it was the American military were going, well, you know, we've fired 168 of these, and we've never had a problem, right? And then, right, just yesterday, it came out in RT, but it was a guy called it was a Northern Irish guy, you know, a fellow countryman, and he was working on the Trident thing, and he did a whistleblowing last year, and about how bad the actual submarine base itself was and the security and everything, and he also talked about the running of the actual Trident submarines and what have you, but he turned around and he said. And he was one of these guys that used to fire the missiles. You know, he was on that part, that end of the submarine. He turned around. He said that there's been four missiles that have misfired. You know, they were practice missiles, and they're four of them, right? So it's not just one, right? So what they were trying to say, the American guys were trying to say, well, it was a bit, they probably might be reaching the end of their time or this or that. They were given various reasons. You know, the articles are on nuclear-news.net.
It's a good article, too. It's a really great article on there.
Yeah.
I mean, honestly, it's really shocking.
We've got three or four of that, and it's the timeline, you know. So one is, you know, the minister going, well, we don't talk about that, and then the Americans talking about it. But then they're saying, right. Oh, well, we've had no problems, and that's just one, you know. But actually, there's been four. The whistleblower stepped forward again, McNally, his name is, and he turned around and said, well, actually, there's been four.
So, well, Sean, we have about a minute and a half left.
I think we've hit a couple of interesting topics, sad topics. We've talked about politics, and I have to say it's been, you know, I would say let's finish off on a positive note. I really do think that this information that's getting out, that we've got whistleblowers like McNally, you know, the ex-Trident guy, we've got WikiLeaks, we've got Snowden, we've got people like you and me and other people, you know, many other people. We've got Abby Martin doing her thing. We've got, you know, busting the Russia's a bad boy, you know, this is a bad boy, that's a bad boy, Assad's a bad boy. At the end of the day, we're all human. We're all making mistakes. We're all pushing for our own little corner of the earth. But, you know, the bottom line is we are all human, and we all have children, and we all, you know, we all want to see our children and do better. And as spiritual people, we want to leave the planet, you know, for the animals and for ourselves and everybody else. So at the end of the day, I would say that I think that let's be pessimists. Let's look at the solutions, and there are solutions out there. So I'd finish with that.
That's really awesome. Well, I think I'll leave that. Please put your courage feet on. Join us again tomorrow for the Age of Fission radio show. Thank you for joining us. Please take action.
Gibson. I am the host of Antenna.